Welcome back to another chapter of To Honesty and Comeuppance, an Attack on Titan fanfiction written by yours truly, Tolstoy Ackerman. You can find this fanfiction by clicking on the link in my profile, which will take you to all of my works hosted on AO3, or by going directly to AO3 and searching for the title of this fic, or by searching for my pen name, Tolstoy Ackerman, two words. Standard disclaimer, I do not own Attack on Titan, I only own the original characters here within, and this is entirely non-for-profit. Thanks for coming back for another chapter. Without further ado, let's get into chapter 24. Chapter 24, Grip the Whip. Unbeknownst to everyone, Levi was not Himmel's first friend. The clients came and went. The woman swept in after them to bring her back and wipe her clean with a coarse rag, change her bedpan, and sometimes cram a piece of hard bread into her mouth. Their departures were constant, but their presences were not. There were two beings whose presence was guaranteed, however, the bear and the cat. Of course, she came up with these names for them much later, after she'd met Levi and learned that such things as bears and cats existed outside. But it was the best way to give them shape, which was essential, because things without a shape could not be bound after all. The bear was a fierce, wild predator that raked her with its claws and sank its fangs into her flesh to rip muscle and shatter bones. It would attack her the instant it sensed she had lowered her guard, but after countless maulings during the client's visits, Himmel had realized that she could muzzle it. She could lull it to sleep, she could charm it, she could teach it to do incredible tricks. In the long days and nights that she had spent tied to the bed as clients carved and beat their darkest, twisted desires into her soft flesh, she worked on taming the bear until she could hear the cat dragging its claws down the door, asking to be let in. Despite its domestic nature, the cat was utterly untamable. It visited when it chose, and it would slip out of Himmel's fingers if she tried to catch it. It was dwarfed by the bear, but its needle-like claws could slice through the fabric of this world and send Himmel tumbling into the cool waters where the bear couldn't reach her and she could know peace. A part of her hated that the cat stole hours and days from her so easily, even if it took away all of the pain for a little, but she learned to call it friend along with the bear. As an adult, in the quiet spaces between one job and the next when she was alone, Himmel found herself wondering why she was still a monster after leaving the room nearly 30 years ago, and often she came to the same conclusion. How could she become anything else when her only friends had been pain and death before she met Levi? When she had finally left that room and the woman, the bear and cat followed her. The bear was her pet and followed her unconditionally, and the cat showed up when the fancy seized it. Over the years, she had learned to hear the cat's mews before it reached her door, and she could send it away for a little longer with the twist of the blade in her chest. But the bear remained hers to control. Occasionally, it would surprise her, but she could always beguile it once again. Sometimes, all it took to charm it was a glance, but today, she had to devote every last ounce of waning energy she had. In the dark space between life and death, she desperately cracked the whip. Himmel! This word snapped just as sharply as the whip, lashed her and wrapped around her and yanked her out of the calm she had cobbled together. The bear roared as it sensed her attention shift, and Himmel opened her eyes and tried to breathe but couldn't. Someone had rolled her onto her back and was hovering above her. They were inches from her face, but she could only make out light eyes and hair. Ah, the woman, then. The next client was waiting? That guess didn't feel right, but Himmel didn't have enough oxygen to allow rational thought. Sighed. She needed to be on her side. Her lungs were so full, and everything hurt so very much. Himmel, you cannot die on this battlefield. That's an order. And, as though this person were a wizard who could forge the world he sought with the power of his words alone, suddenly sparks caught in her heart and exploded, smelting all the damaged parts of her body to make them new. Her hungry lungs took in a massive gulp of air, her vision righted itself, and the world picked its speed back up around her. Ervin clenched a broken titan blade that he had driven into her chest. He was staring down at her as though it were she that was the wizard, even though it had been him to cast the spell. "Commander Ervin," Himmel burst out, "your arm! Don't worry about it. Report." So he had learned how to tame bears as well. Himmel put her tiny hands over his and removed the blade from her chest. The wound sealed behind it instantly, and she sat up and got to her feet with him. Ymir went to get Krista. They'll both defect with Reiner and Bertolt, who have Eden. And I will help them. No, that wasn't the right end of that sentence. Was it? She put a hand to her head that was suddenly aching. Had she not been brought back fully? Why did it hurt? Why did fog still obscure her thoughts? She should have come back at full capacity. More than a day had passed from the last time she'd used it. The screams of men being devoured rang out around her, and she knew that neither she nor Ervin could afford to sit here, but she couldn't move until she knew who and when she was for sure. Frantically, she combed through everything that had happened until Ervin had found her. She had gone with Bertolt and Reiner under the pretense of gaining information from them. The plan had failed when Ymir sided with them. She had wavered, but decided the best choice was to keep Eden and Krista from them. She kept up the act and ran with Reiner and Bertolt and Eden, and atop the armored shoulders she had soaked up a second sun that shone stronger and brighter than her own, and she had decided that she needed to help Reiner and Bertolt by bringing them Annie and whomever they needed that escaped their clutches today. Why had she changed her mind? Why had she felt so certain that she should turn her back on everyone she loved for two boys who had tried to end her world? It was illogical to the point of lunacy. Himmel remembered who and when she was. She said, "I was trying to stall them and find an opportunity to get Eden back from them, but Bertolt injured me when I tried, and you found me. Thank you." "The battle has become untenable," Ervin said. "This may be humanity's last great stand." "No," Himmel said fiercely, even as she heard a soldier's soft organs burst against the Titan's teeth only meters away. "We can still do this. Tell me what needs to be done, and we'll do it." "What the hell are you two doing on the ground? Get on a horse, you fucking idiots!" Levi was there, atop a horse in uniform, glaring down on them like a god of fury, ready to smite ungrateful supplicants. His blades were in his hands, and he looked just as likely to turn them on a Titan as he did on Himmel and Ervin. A laugh of relief and joy and guilt bubbled up out of her. Truly, the world was a dreadful but exquisite place. "Did your brains get scrambled? Quit laughing and get on a goddamn horse. I'm gonna kill you when today's over." And then he dashed off to leap from his steed and take out a 6-meter that was closing in on them. Himmel brought her fingers to her lips and gave a shrill whistle. A horse trotted over to them, and she hefted Ervin onto it before she leapt up so she was in front and he was behind her, with his good arm gripping her shoulder tightly. "Orders, sir," she said. "Eden is with Mikasa, but Ymir still has Krista. We need to get her back." Himmel cast about the battleground. The plains were flat and stretched out for kilometers with sparse trees. There were more Titans than there were trees, though, and already she was planning a path through them, all the way to where the armored was being overwhelmed with Titans, and Ymir and Krista were trying to free him. It wouldn't be easy. "Levi, come with us," she shouted. "I'll take point." He was back on his horse already from downing the 6-meter. There was so much displeasure on his face that it was a wonder he didn't just lop her head off right there. It was entirely justified, though, so she didn't hold it against him. "Lead the way," he growled. She spurred the horse, and they set off at a blistering pace. Levi was just an arm's length behind and to her right as they wove through the reaching arms and snapping teeth. "What was the message you left?" Ervin demanded. Even without looking at him, Himmel could feel Levi's vicious glare burning into her. "The 15s were a gang that I infiltrated and slaughtered. Levi didn't like the way I did things. I knew that if I wrote that, he'd think I was going to do a long con, return to the Armored and Colossal's hometown, gain intel, and destroy every last one of them. And I knew that the idea would make him so utterly furious that he'd come to the battlefield to yank me back home." "You did it because you wanted him to be here?" "No," Himmel said, blushing under her bandana. "I did it because I thought we'd need his strength, and I needed him angry." "Why?" "Because Levi can't die when he's angry," she said simply. "I swear to fucking God, Mel," Levi snarled as he hacked his blades through a Titan's reaching fingers without even looking away from her. "You manipulative, selfish idiot." Ervin huffed in amusement despite himself. They were quickly approaching the armored, only another couple hundred meters. Their two horses were the only ones still advancing. All the others sped by them on the retreat, and with great relief, Himmel saw Mikasa dash by with Eden holding on to her. "I think I can get Ymir carved out," Himmel said. "I did it once earlier." "All right, I'll chat with the other buyers. Just the stingy ones, right?" "Of course, you're the only one that would be dumb enough to rub elbows with the high rollers." "Ervin, we'll be tossing down whatever we can," Himmel said. "Try to catch them." She realized that asking the only one of them missing an arm to catch people they'd be throwing wasn't the best plan, but it was the best that they had. A giddy excitement rushed through her, even though the happiness shouldn't exist in the same place that men were being eaten alive. After 10 long years, she was back to doing what she did best, with the person she trusted most. However, like all of her plans today, this one was quickly rendered useless. Himmel blinked in utter disbelief as she watched the armored grab a 5-meter class and hurl it like a cannonball at the retreating men. It soared over Himmel's head, and when she leaned back to watch it fly, she bumped into Ervin's chest. He was as stunned as she was for a second, before his expression hardened. "Onwards," he ordered the two of them. They were both forced to pull back on the reins so hard that their horses rose onto their hind legs in protest when Reiner hurled an 8-meter at them. The resulting explosion of dirt clods clouded their vision, and they had no choice other than to back away from the haze, lest they be surprised by the Titan bursting out at them. Gritting their teeth, Levi and Himmel directed their horses around the dust and continued forward, but the armored was chucking Titans left and right now, and behind them they could hear screams and crashes as the fleshy bombs hit their targets, throwing soldiers off horses and crushing them. "Where's Eren?" Himmel asked. "I can't tell. Too much dust," Levi shouted back. This was going from bad to worse. Should they turn back to find Eren? Should they keep trying to get Krista and Ymir back? But Ervin didn't change his orders, so the both of them surged forwards, swerving wide to avoid another Titan that Reiner lobbed directly at them. It crashed between their horses, but had they been even a single meter closer to one another, they would have been crushed. Now they were close enough. Himmel's grapples could just sink into the armored at this distance. She was scared to touch him again, though. She had the most irrational feeling that he had somehow bewitched her when she rode atop him. There was no time to worry or wonder. Come what may, she fired her ODM gear into the armored's back and shot through the air as fast as her gas would allow her. Her speed was so great that her spine buckled, and she let the wind bend her backwards as she withdrew her blades, and then she spun up and diagonally, aiming straight for Ymir's nape. Ymir's little Titan was clutching Reiner's shoulder, and on one of her shoulders was Krista, staring at the devastation in anguish, but then her bright blue eyes turned wide in alarm as she saw Himmel coming at them like a comet. But Krista was too sweet to take out her blades. Instead, she cried, "No, don't!" Himmel, however, wasn't sweet. With a scream, she slashed through Ymir's back, who roared in horror. Bertholdt stood aghast on Reiner's other shoulder with his blades out. He probably didn't know what side Himmel was on anymore. Ymir may have blown Himmel's bluff from earlier, and now Himmel was inexplicably healed and back to take away two of the people that the boys needed after Eren had already been taken from them. As quickly as she could, Himmel wrenched Ymir out of the Titan by her hair, grabbed Krista by the arm, and made to dive off the colossal. "I should have known!" Bertholdt yelled in rage, and before Himmel could leap off, he drove a Titan blade straight through her neck. Himmel jerked her head away, the burning blade sliding out of her throat, and jumped while both girls screamed to land atop Levi's riderless horse. "Come on!" she screamed, voice rough from the blood draining down her throat. Levi got himself onto Ervin's horse, and immediately they set off. Himmel had Ymir under one arm and Krista under the other, and the only thing keeping her on the horse were her tightly clenched thighs. If Reiner threw another Titan at them, she wasn't sure she'd be able to evade it. "Himmel, your neck!" "It's fine," she said. "It didn't hit anything important." "You absolute cunt! You have no idea what the fuck you've done!" Ymir screamed at her. "I saved your fucking lives is what I did," Himmel snarled at her. "Live out the rest of your days here." "But they're gonna kill Ymir if..." "How can they kill her if she's not with them? Use your head, girl. Ymir doesn't have to go with them. You don't have to go with them. Do whatever the fuck lets you both be together. And what the fuck is wrong with you, Ymir? Why did you suddenly grow a conscience when mass murderers are involved? Who cares if you stole from them or ate their fucking friend? Look at what they did to us. You owe them nothing." "If we don't give them what they came here for, they're gonna obliterate us," Ymir yelled. "Let them try," Himmel said. "Now, if you're both done being stupid, I need Krista to get on this horse. Put away your blades." The two of them were silent for several long moments, and she glared at them. Her arms and legs were beginning to feel the strain. She needed them to hurry the fuck up. "Ymir," Krista said, "we should live for ourselves, but I want to be with you. I don't want you to be killed by them. Stay here with me, if that's what you want to do." After a long quiet, Ymir sighed, clenched her fists, and said, "Fine." Krista sheathed her blades, and Himmel heaved her onto the horse to ride in front of her. Finally, she could hold the reins with one hand and rest her legs, and she bucked Ymir up in her left arm. The brunette scowled up at her. "Am I not good enough to get to ride on the horse?" "I'm sorry. Something about you trying to strangle me the last time we shared a horse has me leery." Ymir frowned but didn't complain. She was content to let Himmel hold her around the waist because she could still reach out and take one of Krista's hands. Kids, Himmel thought, rolling her eyes. Why had they both decided they had no choice other than to go with Reiner and Bertolt and die? Why did teenagers seek out melodrama like it was honey? At least they had managed to get two of the targets back. Now it was time to find Eren. "Himmel, head back to the walls with them," Erwin ordered. "We'll handle the rest." "Understood," she said. Levi shot her another vicious look that made it clear his rage wasn't anywhere near sated, and she took heart in this and sped her horse through the cratered plains, around the dead horses and crawling titans and mutilated bodies. She was constantly keeping an eye out most immediately for encroaching titans, but she was also on the lookout for Eren. Even though she had direct orders not to go after him, she wanted to know if he was okay. After all, she had dragged him out here. She had dragged them all out here. In the distance, she saw Jean slumped down by a tree, with Armin over him, waving a titan blade at a 5-meter that was reaching its hands out. Even if Himmel ran her horse to the point of collapse, she wouldn't make it in time. Mikasa was on her feet without her blades drawn, a sure sign that she was gravely injured, and Eren standing between her and a 15-meter class. Himmel's mouth fell open in horror. Levi and Erwin were galloping straight for them, but they were 200 meters away. There was no way they could make it. Not even Levi, with all of his speed and strength, could get there before the Titan swept him up and it was all over. Her heart jumped into her throat, and all the air left her lungs just like when she'd fallen off the armored and time halted on the plains. The crimson clouds above them ceased their journeys, the hooves of the horse beneath her glided over the blades of grass that had fallen still, and the cries of the dying faded as she watched Eren throw a fist at the Titan. It was the fist of every person who had ever anguished over why they were locked in a birdcage. It was the justice for everyone who had offered their hearts. It was the brunt of humanity's unending quest for life and freedom brought down upon the Titan. The instant they touched, an intense bolt of lightning passed through one of Himmel's temples and out the other, and she gasped as she felt something stir and roil and rise within her. Ymir cried out in pain as she squeezed her. Himmel ground her teeth hard enough to grind them to dust, and the most overwhelming, apocalyptic bloodlust she had ever known seized her. If they couldn't wrestle freedom out of the Titan's jaws, she would simply smite everything there was in this world until there was nothing and nobody that could take it from them again. "Himmel, stop! You're hurting Ymir!" Krista's voice yanked Himmel out of the blood-soaked reverie and, like a curtain being pulled aside to reveal the sun outside, the darkness passed and she recalled where she was as time picked back up again. "Sorry," Himmel said automatically. Ymir and Krista's eyes were both wide, and it was only when she followed their line of sight that Himmel realized time had unfrozen for all of the Titans as well. Now they were putting down the humans they clutched, turning away from them, and all running straight for the Titan Eren had punched. Even as her horse put more and more distance between them, Himmel craned her neck to see the Titans fall upon the 15-meter and devour it with the zealous hunger that had consumed Himmel not a few seconds prior. And then the lightning struck again, singeing her synapses, and the same molten fury was back, just as strong. This time, Himmel shook herself free of it before she could hurt Ymir, but Ymir was looking up at Krista as though she had felt the lightning as well, only instead of giving her a sword of holy fire, it had pierced her in the heart, and she was bleeding out the final seconds of her life. "Ymir?" Krista said. The Titans were now turning toward Bertolt and Reiner. The armored stood there for a moment, seemingly in shock, and then it bolted southward. "Stop the horse," Ymir said to Himmel. "None of the Titans will come after us." Inexplicably, Himmel knew the same thing. She tugged on the reins, and they slowed to a standstill. Ymir touched her feet to the ground and rose to her full height before wrapping her arms tightly around Krista, tugging her down against her chest and holding her to her as though she wanted to carry the shape of Krista's body with her for the rest of her days. Himmel turned away to give them privacy, and out of the corner of her eye, she saw Krista catch Ymir's lips in a soft but earnest kiss. Ymir's narrow brown eyes widened in shock, and then she crushed Krista even tighter to her. Himmel could smell salt on the air. I really am the most selfish asshole there is, Ymir said, her voice thick even as she tried to joke. I need to give them back what I stole, and this will be my only chance. Historia, keep living for yourself. Historia's arms were shaking as she squeezed Ymir back, and tears spilled down her cheeks unabashedly. Thank you for teaching me how to live. Himmel knew Ymir was going to leave, and with her would go valuable information about the enemy. She knew she had orders to get the both of them back to the walls, and yet she didn't try to restrain Ymir. Ymir gave Himmel a look, and Himmel nodded. Yes, I'll look out for Historia when you're gone. Ymir bit down on her hand and transformed, and as though she feared she'd lose her determination if she looked at Historia again, she dashed southward without glancing back. Historia crumpled against Himmel instantly, and Himmel put an arm around her in comfort as she spurred their horse back toward the walls. Why didn't you stop her? Historia asked through her quiet mourning. Did you want me to? Himmel said. No. I should have, but... Himmel sighed as she remembered the look of relief in Bertolt's eyes when she had said she'd help them. I felt bad for them. We'll say that Ymir broke out of my hold and got away. It probably wasn't the right decision, Himmel admitted to herself. But whatever Eren had done with that punch, it had convinced Ymir that Historia was safer in the walls, and that meant Ymir now believed they stood a chance against the enemy. Himmel drew courage from this. I like the name, by the way, Himmel said. Oh. Historia hiccuped. They were quiet as they rode further and further north, but at length Historia spoke again. They're really going to kill her, aren't they? Himmel didn't think lying would benefit Historia, so she told her gently. That's what Bertolt and Reiner said. Historia took in a trembling breath and then breathed it out low and long, and Himmel ran her fingers through her hair in what she hoped was a consoling gesture. Historia said, we should bandage your neck at least. Nah, that'll just make more go down my throat. Thanks, though. Bertolt said he thought he'd killed you. He very nearly did. He said he slashed your chest, and your uniform is ripped, but... She knows. Himmel swallowed down the habitual panic and settled for saying, It seems like everyone has a secret identity today. Maybe I'll tell you mine sometime. The sun had fallen behind the land, and the earth bruised purples and blacks. The nearly full moon and stars provided more than ample light to find the way back. When they only had another hour's ride, Himmel heard another rider approaching them from behind. She and Historia looked behind them, and a happy gasp got caught in her throat when she saw Levi and Ervin gaining on them. Ervin was slumped over in front of Levi, who was gripping him with one arm and leaning to the side to see around him. Where's Ymir? Levi asked immediately. She got away from me and joined Reiner and Bertolt. I'm sorry. What the fuck is wrong with you? He snapped. Too used to his bite to be intimidated, she said. Well, I was stabbed through the neck, so there is that. Shut up. Why didn't you stop her? I tried, but... I tied up Himmel's arms with my ODM gear wire so Ymir could escape, Historia said, much to Himmel's surprise. Levi appraised Historia. How many times did you wrap the wires around her? Two. Then you're lying. Mel could get out of that. She used the left and right, Himmel said, so it was actually four, and my arms were already tired from carrying them. You're fucking useless, you know that? Who are you to talk to Himmel like that? Historia said, visibly bristling. Himmel laughed and patted Historia's shoulder as Levi turned even more thunderous. Remember that guy who told me to read a book when I took a shit? That jerk! Yeah, that jerk is Captain Levi, humanity's pissiest soldier. Historia gasped in shock, and all the fury drained from her face to be replaced with dread. Levi ignored her and said to Himmel, Can you take Ervin? He passed out a while back. Is he all right? Himmel asked, leaping off her horse. He lost a lot of blood, was all he said. This non-answer was troubling. It was unlike Levi to skirt around something, and this showed how deep his worry ran. Historia, ride with Levi, and try not to bump into his left leg. But now... Levi and Himmel said at the same time. Historia flew off the horse. Himmel took Ervin from Levi and had Historia help stabilize him on the horse as Himmel got on. She used the ODM gear wire coiled around her forearm to lash Ervin to her back, and once she was sure that he was secure, she gave a nod to Levi and Historia. Levi said, They're gonna arrest you when you get back. Don't do anything stupid. Oh. Himmel didn't know what to say to this news. She was almost dumb enough to ask him why, but then she remembered that only she and Eren knew that Reiner had admitted his identity atop the wall. To everyone else, it must have looked like Himmel had been with them the whole time. She laughed nervously. "I've never been arrested before. I don't really want to ruin my streak." "You should have thought about that before you aided the fucking enemy." She saw him grimace as Historia got onto the horse with him, and she thought about his leg. How much had today exacerbated it? Guilt and concern were pouring in, and before they could drown her, she took the reins in her hand and said, "I know you're probably chomping at the bit for a conjugal, but stop by the infirmary first. Historia, make sure he gets examined. Don't be afraid to use force." And before Levi could throw a blade at her, or Historia could have a full-blown panic attack, Himmel set off at a brisk gallop. Erevin was soundly unconscious behind her, bobbing slightly against her with each pound of hooves, but his pulse was strong and breath shallow and even. He would be all right. That said, she had a hard time imagining how he'd be able to lead another battle with his right arm missing. The rest of the ride was quiet, and Himmel tried not to think about too much other than how nice the sky was tonight, and how glad she was that Levi was all right. When she finally reached Trost, she was cuffed and her ODM gear confiscated by two garrison men, as another two took Erevin away for emergency treatment. "Do I get anything for my neck?" she rasped. "It was pierced through." "They'll stitch you up in your cell." Himmel tried pulling at the thick metal manacles they'd put her hands in behind her back. She wouldn't break out of them this time because that wouldn't be in her best interest, but she figured it wouldn't be a bad idea to familiarize herself with them for the next time she committed apparent treason. The garrison soldiers passed her to two Survey Corps men who led her to the Trost barracks and the holding cells in the bowels of the stone building. There was no doctor, but that was all right. Now that she was off the horse and no longer being jostled, it would begin clotting. Himmel sat down in the corner of the cell, leaned against the wall carefully, wondered where they'd put her swords, and closed her eyes to await interrogation and news. And that's the end of the chapter. I actually ended up ripping this up and I rewrote it a total of 4 times. I'm still not the happiest with it. I guess it just feels kind of flat for some reason, probably because the last few chapters have been very action-packed, and this is kind of the falling action, but it just feels a little drab. Maybe I'll come back and edit it one day. And I also kind of wanted Levi's appearance on the battlefield to be spectacular, but realistically, he's wounded, so he can't really go flying around like a madman. I mean, I kind of went into this in my head expecting him to steal the show like he's wont to do, but in all the rewrites, he just didn't cooperate with me. And, you know, it's funny because you'd think that as author, I'd have full control over what the characters do, but they tend to just kind of walk around on the pages and do whatever they want. But don't worry, we're going to have some really badass moments when we get into season 3, which is only a few chapters away. If you are liking the story, I would absolutely love to hear from you. Even just a little emoji or something really brightens my day. Getting these chapters ready for the podfic version does take time. It takes like an hour to record and then at least an hour to do the editing. And so 2 hours per chapter is kind of a lot of work. It's worth it, you know, but it's always nice to hear from the listeners to get a little bit of appreciation because this is also done entirely for free. So your comments and your kind words are my only form of payment for all of this. So, yeah, if you like what you're listening to, feel free to pop onto AO3 and leave a little comment. Anonymous comments are turned on. All right, thanks again, and I will see you again soon. Bye-bye.